Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Harvest Community Church podcast. We hope this message today brings you encouragement and inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. If you ever have any questions or you want to learn more about us as a church, you can always check us out at harvesttn.com. Enjoy the message.
Happy Resurrection Day. Today, all around the world are people who are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. It was a real event. The resurrection of Jesus shook the world in his day, and it continues to shake the world today. For some, that was a problem. For others, it was the fulfillment of a promise. It's a problem if you refuse to see your sin. It's a problem if you refuse to believe in him and you refuse to believe in his resurrection. It's a problem. But if you put your faith in him, it's the fulfillment of a promise of eternal life. And that is a promise to you, and that is a promise to me. I listened to the testimony of someone who grew up in Islam as a Muslim who had converted to Christianity. And as I listened to the testimony, this was their view. This is how they saw America. And that was that every person in America was a Christian, just like they viewed that in other countries, whatever religion dominated in that country, they thought, well, that you're born that way from birth. Well, we are born that way from birth, but not the natural birth. Does that make sense? And so I listened to the testimony, and he said that he observed when he came to America and he went to school here, and as he went to school here, he lived with a couple different families. And he said he began to observe that his view of Christianity was a little bit off, because his view of Christianity was based upon what he had always heard, and that is all Americans are Christians. And then he came and he said, I begin to observe that there are those who call themselves Christian who are really just kind of nominal. They're really not committed to anything, but they still call themselves Christian. And he said, then I saw another group of people who were very committed and who were a part of what I call a born-again Christian community. And he said, those people had an impact on me. And those people are the people who over time helped lead this man to Jesus. I think there is the possibility that some people who call themselves Christian worship or serve or believe in an unresurrected Jesus. You with me? They do not believe in the resurrection. And the power of the resurrection does not exist in their life or anywhere else. I listened to a lady, I guess you could call it a debate. It was a discussion of two different ladies who both had found themselves in a place where they struggled with their faith and what they believed. And one of them came out believing stronger in Jesus than she ever had. And the other came out believing in this Jesus. She had discovered that her Jesus was a loving Jesus, and she loved him because he loved. His writings and his teachings were wonderful. He was a great man, a great teacher. And so the guy asking the questions, he said, but what about the resurrection? And she said, well, none of us were there. I don't know whether he rose from the dead or not, but he was just a good guy. He was a good teacher. Almost every major religion believes that Jesus existed and believes that he was a good man, that he taught good things. Some believe that he was a prophet. Some believe that he was a good rabbi. But none believe that he died and rose again. Some will even tell you that he died. Of course he died, because they believe he was a good man, and every man has to die. Every woman has to die. So they believe in his death, but they do not believe in his resurrection. And so now we want to just say, well, you know what? Let's just embrace Jesus and forget about the resurrection. Because the resurrection divides people. The resurrection offends people. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, that can be offensive. Let's just adopt the Jesus that is just love, the Jesus that just loves. Let's forget about everything else. And so the other lady said, but can I ask you a question? She said, what do you do with Jesus who says, I am the way, I'm the way. I'm the life, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Amen. You see, he put himself in a situation, as C.S. Lewis says, he's a lunatic or he's a Lord. You can't really adopt the fact that he was a great prophet, because prophets cannot say that they're deity. Prophets cannot claim to be God. And Jesus did that. Prophets don't do that. Lunatics do that, but not prophets. Only the Lord can put that out there and say, I am the way. And the other girl said, I don't know. I don't really know what he meant. But I don't believe Jesus would ever separate people. I don't believe a loving God would ever just separate people like that. I believe that any religion can get you, any stream of religion can get you to the well. And so as Carla and I are listening to this, both of us are like, but she believes in nothing. She professes to believe in Jesus and professes to love Jesus, but who is this Jesus that she's saying she loves? Because this Jesus that she's talking about doesn't believe in anything, doesn't stand for anything. He just loves people. And there's no church on the face of the earth that loves the way Harvest Community Church loves. I believe that with all my heart. But Jesus did not, I mean, he was pure love. But love demanded a decision. See, he gave us free will to choose. The only way we can truly love him is if we have the will to choose him. Am I right? So then, as most people do, you hear those who say, but Bud, I have tried Christianity and it didn't work for me. I tried Christianity and it didn't work for me. I had this conversation with someone, and that was what she shared. I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. And I said, well, why didn't it work for you? See, here's what I understand. If you go to the store to buy something or you go to get something, but if your expectation of that thing that you're getting is not what that was for, then you're going to be disappointed. Does that make sense? If you go to the store and you buy a shop vac and you bring it home, and you're looking for something that's going to cut the weeds out of your yard, you can say, this thing does not work. This shop vac does not work. I took it out there. I took it along the weeds. But they're still there. It does not work. So you can look at it as this. My Christianity doesn't work, maybe because what you got it for and your expectation is not what Jesus died on the cross for. See, here's the thought pattern of the world today. I accepted and embraced Christianity because I wanted a happier life. I just wanted a happy life. And I trusted Jesus, but I didn't get that. My life, there were problems and there was troubles, and I was going through difficult things, and it just didn't work for me. If you're looking for something that is going to take all of your problems away, you're not going to find it in any religion. There are problems in this world. And if you live long enough, you will discover that there are problems in this world. So if you go and embrace a Christianity expecting with your expectation, I'm going to go and I'm going to get Christianity, I'm going to try it, and you still have problems and your husband still leaves you and your baby still dies and your mother still goes home to be with the Lord, and you look at that and say, but well, it didn't work for me. Why? Because your expectation was that by embracing Jesus, it was going to get you what you wanted in life. And when it didn't happen, your heart was broken and you reject Jesus. See, there are lots of people who reject Jesus by what they say is an intellectual reason. And I do believe that there are people who are on a search naturally. Their whole search is a natural search. As they study, so they look from a natural point of view. Scripture is very plain that even from Scripture cannot be understood from a natural point of view. It has to be spiritually discerned. So you'll never get to Jesus naturally. And if you outright reject any idea of supernatural, then you'll never get to it. But there are other people that don't get there because of an emotional approach, an emotional response. So this young lady that I was talking to began to share that there was an emotion, the real reason was an emotional reason, and it was the death of a parent. We got down to the nitty-gritty of what's really going on. I prayed, and this didn't happen. And therefore, because this didn't happen, God cannot be real. And so now we find out that the real reason is that there was hurt and there was pain. And the only way to get back at God is just to say, I don't even believe in you. I don't even believe in you anymore. Or you go through this place to say, well, since it didn't happen, there can't be a God. But that is to reject everything that we know. I mean, I'm standing here And I'm listening to you and I'm watching you worship, and I'm thinking about 2,000 years of believers and people who have come to Jesus and walked with Jesus. There's got to be some reason for that. So, Bud, there are other religions that have been around for a long time, but there are none that make the claims that Jesus made. None that make the claim of dealing with a sin issue. None that make the claim of him dealing with your sin issue. Others will give us a list of rules to say, if you do this and do it the best you can, then you can maybe hope that you get to heaven one day. I remember being in a church, and it was a Christian church, and I remember somebody standing up and sharing a testimony saying, you know what, I just hope one day that that when I get to the pearly gates, that I've done enough for the Lord to invite me in. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is a Baptist church. What are you talking about? Done enough? You will never do enough to get in. You will never be, Bud, what's enough? Well, think about it. What's enough? What's enough to you, but may not be enough to somebody else, but maybe more to somebody else. What is enough? Jesus made it plain. Paul made it plain. Peter made it plain. The writers of the gospel made it plain that there is a problem that mankind has. There is a serious issue that we have, and it is a sin issue. We all are born with this issue. So there will be some who will say, but yeah, but I'm a good person. But are you good enough? Well, I think I'm good enough. How do you know? Do you want to go and meet the Lord with hopes that maybe your goodness might have been enough? Is anybody tracking with me? Or do you want to just go ahead and nail the thing down and get it for sure taken care of right now? Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15. Before I get off on a tangent. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. A Christianity without a resurrection is not Christianity. Are you with me? A Christianity where Jesus is still in the grave, where Jesus did not get up, is not Christianity at all. And if you embrace a Jesus that is still dead, even if you believe that he was virgin born, even if you believe that there were some miracles in his life, even if you believe that he died for people, if he did not get up from the dead, he's no different than any other religious guru that's ever lived. The reason we believe what we believe is because we believe in the one who got up from the dead. Nobody else has done that. Jesus did it. He got up from the dead. Verse 3, for what I have received, the Apostle Paul says, I have passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died. Now, he's going to give us the gospel here. Listen to this. For what I received, so he received this from somebody, I have passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died. Why did he die? For our sins, according to the scripture. What scripture? He's not talking about the New Testament. The New Testament was not scripture at the time. The New Testament came in became canon after that. These were letters written at the time by the Apostle Paul. And so what scriptures he's talking? He's talking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament. When you think about when we're reading is the Old Testament prophesied in the Old Testament, we find prophecies of what was to come. And so we find that it was prophesied in the Old Testament that he was going to die for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to scriptures. It was prophesied that that would happen. That's the reason so many, it's like for the religious people of the time, is like, okay, you people are people who are supposed to know scriptures, yet you reject the one who is fulfilling the scriptures that you say you believe. And then he went on to say, I love this, he was buried, raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared. Now, when did he appear? He appeared after his resurrection. He appeared to Peter, Peter. And to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of his brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And then the last, he appeared to me as well, Paul says, as one abnormally born, when I am the least of the apostles, I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. We'll talk about all that in just a minute. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. See, that's the kind of grace that we receive when we trust Jesus as a Savior, and that's the kind that is not without effect. There's a lot of people who say, I have the grace of God, therefore I can just do anything I want to do. It doesn't really matter. Live any way I want to live. It doesn't really matter. Is that love? That's pretty well grace without effect, right? No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach and this is what you have believed. Now listen to this. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? The same thing in Jesus' day as there is today. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. It demands a decision. Right? A decision is demanded. Progressive Christianity today will tell you it doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter if Jesus rose from the dead. But I want to tell you, Paul says, the Apostle Paul, other riders that it matters. It matters what we do with Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It matters. Even in Jesus' day, listen to this. We know that there was a mock trial. I mean, there was a trial that was, it was a mockery. Jesus is convicted to die on a cross, right? So he goes, they beat him, they literally tie him to a post where he has been over to a post, and they take a cat of nine tails and they literally rip the flesh from his body. If you read the prophecy in Psalm 22, it's kind of like he looked more like a side of beef hanging there with his flesh ripped away from him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they put him on a cross. And so he's hanging on a cross in this condition. At noon, it goes dark. The earth quakes. Stones split. Something is happening in the atmosphere. Everybody around, some of them in fear, others of them as a couple of the Roman soldiers says, surely this was the Son of God. Didn't even know it, but surely this was the Son of God. Are you tracking with me? Keep up. Surely this was the Son of God. They send a soldier to stab Jesus in the side just to make sure he's dead. He had died before any of the others. They take a spear, they shove it in his side, blood and water flows out. Not going to go into all that, but if you study that, there's major implications there to his death. Joseph of Arimathea comes, they take him down off the cross. Joseph says, I'm going to put him in my tomb. Joseph is a rich man in town, in Jerusalem, lots of people in Jerusalem at this time. They put him in Joseph's tomb. Joseph knows it's just going to be for a couple days, right? You know, I mean, hey, he can borrow my tomb if he wants to. I'll have it back soon. So Jesus is taken down and he's put in the tomb. They know that he has prophesied that he's going to get up from there in 3 days. So what do you do when you know that's going to happen? Well, the religious people could not take a chance on the fact that something would happen. So they go to the Roman leaders and they say, can you put extra detail on this person, on Jesus? Can you put extra detail? Because if his disciples steal his body, something happens to that body, then we're going to have real problems. So they put more Roman guards on there. Then they seal the tomb with a Roman seal that if anybody breaks that seal, they're going to die. Everything they could do to make sure that Jesus stays down. On the third day, Mary and Mary decide to go to the tomb to anoint the body. They're not going down there to see resurrected Jesus. They're going down there to anoint his body. And as they go, they're surprised by this angel. The description of the angel is magnificent. They're shocked by this angel who comes. The earth quakes. The stone is rolled away from the door, not to let Jesus out, but to let us look in and see he's not there. Mary, they hear this, and the angel says, go back and tell the disciples. So they start to go back, and Jesus meets them, and Jesus talks to them. Jesus talks to them. And Jesus says, go tell the disciples. You know, the very first women were preachers. I hate to disappoint some of you. The very first preachers, Jesus called himself. Go tell the message. And they went and told the disciples. Now, later, Jesus, this is the, now here's what we're reading in the Apostle Paul, and some say that this part of 1 Corinthians, when Paul says, as I have heard, was within months and years of Jesus' resurrection, they were teaching this already. Jesus goes and he meets with the disciples. And then he goes and 500 people see him. Here, listen to me. If you're struggling with in your mind, I know there are lots of things, but I'm just going to give you a little bit. And let me tell you why. If for every young person in this room, I want you to listen to me. When you go to school, when you go to university, the very first thing that they're going to start to do is try to rip apart everything that you've ever believed. Can I tell you that there is a good reason to believe everything you believe? So don't just throw away everything that you've ever taught, if you've been taught, just because somebody didn't go into some detail with you. There's magnificent scholars, Christian believers, scholars out there who have studied. Man, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. So if you want to go learn from an atheist, you're going to get that. Learn from somebody who knows Jesus. You see what I'm saying? If you want to get a true picture of who Bud is, talk to his family, the people who know him. Don't talk to somebody out there who never met me, but just, you know. So the arguments are then, let me throw this out really quickly. Some of those skeptics say Jesus never died on the cross. Now, this one is not as much now. Most people have moved beyond this. But this is how things change. Because suddenly, back in when I first got saved, the big thing was the swoon theory. And that was that Jesus just swooned. He just passed out. He didn't really die. And that's why it looked like he resurrected. But he really didn't resurrect because he never died to start with. The swoon. No, but hardly anybody, even skeptics now, hardly anybody will accept that because of this. How do you take a man who has been beat nearly to death on a cross, and I'm saying, we're just going to say if he didn't die, how do you take a man who was beat nearly to death on the cross, his flesh ripped from his body, and in 3 days later, man, he's up and going like nothing ever happened? Is anybody with me? That would be a miracle in itself. But the very people who deny Jesus won't accept miracles anyway. They won't accept the supernatural. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I promise you, there are people who know much more than I. What I am telling you is there is a reason for what you believe. It's not just, I believe it because mom and dad told me. There's a reason. And for 2,000 years, people have been believing that reason. And they put their faith in Jesus. Are you tracking with me? Then the most popular, probably one of the most popular today, is that it's the hallucination theory. And that is that all the disciples, because of their pain and agony over his death, were hallucinating when they thought they saw Jesus, but they really didn't see Jesus. Let me tell you something. 50% of people, they say, I've not counted them. I'm just, you know. About 50% of people will have some sort of hallucinatory thing after the death of a loved one. Meaning, have you ever had anybody say, oh, I just felt his presence. I just feel dad's presence all around me. I just feel mom's presence. Well, you don't. But what is that? Our mind. Psychology. Okay, what do you mean, Bud? Can't I feel their presence? No, they're with the Lord. They've gone on to be, they're not in the earth anymore. They're not in the earth anymore. They're not floating around. They're not watching over you. That's what Jesus is doing. Hello? They're not a spirit sneaking around the house. They're going on to be with the Lord. What is that? It is a hallucinatory. It is psychological. And they say that about 50% of the people at the death of a loved one or someone can experience that. Now, that's 50%. Out of that 50%, a very small percentage of those people can have auditory. That means they hear something. And in what they hear, they think is a loved one. I heard dad's voice. I heard mom's voice. 7%. Y'all tracking with me? 7% will have a visual, some kind of a visual hallucination. 7% of the 50%. Yet 100% of the disciples saw Jesus and believed they saw him. See, some will say eyewitness testimony. You can't trust eyewitness testimony. And I mean, if you watch some court things, there's some of that is true. But look at the percentage of people. Look at the disciples. All 100% of the disciples saw Jesus. 100% of 500 people saw Jesus. That's a lot of eyewitnesses who saw Jesus walking around. Is anybody tracking with me? So if you want to follow the intellectual part of it, it's there for you. But Jesus didn't die on a cross just to satisfy our intellectual demands. He died on a cross to satisfy the penalty that is demanded for sin. Is anybody tracking with me? How do disciples who are timid and afraid become world changers? After Jesus' death, they were pretty well done. They had lost all of their faith. They didn't expect Jesus to get up. But Jesus rose from the dead, and those timid disciples ended up being people who turned this world upside down, risking their life and everything they had for this message. Jesus died. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus rose again, and then he walked until he ascended. They died for that. What if the Christianity that we have embraced is a resurrectionless Christianity that we embrace to make our life in this world happier? And that's not what Jesus did. And some of you are about to give up on your faith. Some of you have already walked away from your faith. Others of you may be struggling. Because when you look in this world, you say, Bud, how can a loving God allow what we see happening in this world? How? How can a loving, and most of us, and think about this, most of us never ask that question until it hits home. Is anybody with me? Every day there's pain, every day there's heartache, but most of us don't ask that question until it comes home. But it doesn't matter when you ask the question, when you look at it and say, but God, there can't be a God, and he can't be a loving God, and he can't be a good God because there's too much pain in this world. Why doesn't he stop it? And for those who use that to try to cause you to not believe in Jesus, they will use that until God does something to stop something, and then they use that against him. You tracking with me? Destroy this nation. Kill everybody in this nation. Old Testament. Why did he do it? Because they had become so corrupt. Offering babies as sacrifices. Some say that when the babies were being offered, that they would just play the drums louder so that the mothers could not hear their own children being sacrificed to these false gods. their sexual immorality had gotten so wicked and so bad that disease was rampant, and God says, you just got to wipe them out. What did he do? He took care of the problem. So those who say, well, why doesn't God do something? When he does do something, they say he's a cruel God. Are you tracking with me? See, what I'm telling you is you can't satisfy those who decide that they're not going to believe in God and they're not going to believe in Jesus. You will never come up with an argument. I heard one say, even if I saw miracles, I wouldn't believe it because I would explain it away naturally. I won't accept the supernatural. You will never, unless somehow the Holy Spirit does something there, that person is never going to come to faith. But I don't think there's anybody in here like that. I think most everybody in this room, everybody in Overflow, everybody watching home, I think you're ready to receive. But are you ready to receive the real Jesus? Are you ready to receive the resurrected Savior? Listen to me. Our American, and don't get me wrong, you've heard me say, I love my country, but our American version of Christianity is a different creature. God didn't promise that there's not going to be problems. He didn't promise that people would not die. He didn't promise that somebody's not going to get healed from cancer. He didn't promise any of those things. He did tell us there's trouble in this world and you're going to experience that trouble. The resurrected Jesus wants to be with you in every situation that you will ever face. If you go into other parts of the country, other parts of the world where Christians are literally killed for their faith, you stand there with somebody with a sword that says, deny your faith in Jesus Christ or die. And we say, I just don't think Christianity works for me. Why? Well, because it just, you know, I'm just not happy all the time. Because something happened. Listen to me. If you're going to come to Jesus, come to him for the real reason. You have a sin problem. I have a sin problem. He died on a cross to take care of that sin problem. He rose again 3 days later to assure that we could raise from the dead one day. That's why. Yes, he's with us in this world, and yes, he gives grace when they're sitting there and they know that they're about ready to lose their head and they're not denying Jesus as their Savior. They have a grace that God gives in those moments, but they have embraced a faith in God that is a real faith, not some selfish, petty, I need what I need. That is the Christianity that works. That's the one that says no matter what this world brings and no matter how hell tries to attack, I will believe Jesus all the way to the end because this world is not all there is. There's another one coming that is far better than anything in this world. I'm going to embrace the one that got my daddy up and took him to heaven. I want to embrace the one that has resurrection because Jesus said that Jesus is Paul said Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, which means because he was the first one that did it, we all get to experience it who put our faith in him. Where are you? Where are you? Paul, a murderer, Saul, a murderer, a Pharisee. Murdered Christians and yet became the greatest proponent apostle of Christianity has ever known. How did that happen? He met Jesus. Amen. How does a 21-year-old young man who really has never been to church, hasn't been really taught about Jesus, given his life over to all the things that this flesh desires, and yet in one moment meets a man called Jesus, and his life is transformed from hate to love, from bondage to freedom. How does that happen? That was me. How does that happen? Because Jesus got up. Because Jesus got up. How do 12 men turn the world upside down? How do women who teach Jesus turn the world upside down? Because he got up. We worship a risen, got up out of the dead grave Savior. And he loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to have more than I tried it. Dive in. Trust him. Put your faith in him. There's a better world coming. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, Bud, well, I've always kind of considered myself a Christian, and yet there's a difference in being born again, born spiritually. If you have never really put your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, maybe you've been raised up in a Christian home, and you thought you were Christian because mom and dad are, I want to invite you today to experience the power of his resurrection in your own life. To go from dead in your trespasses and sin to alive in Christ. For those of you that are watching from the overflow rooms, have you ever really put your faith in Jesus? For those of you watching at home, have you ever really put your faith in Jesus? And if you're in that place where it hasn't worked for me, maybe, just maybe, you never really came to the real Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Is there any of you today would say, Bud, I want Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord, and I want a relationship with him today. I've never had that. Would you just raise your hand real quick? I'm going to pray with you. God bless you, honey. Anybody else? I want to trust Jesus as my Savior right now. I'm going to ask all of you, because there are some that have raised their hand. I'm going to ask all of you, if you will, church, pray this out loud with me. And for those of you that are receiving Jesus right now, would you just pray this out loud? It's really about you making a connection with God. It's about you coming to him. But let's all pray this out loud. Jesus, I believe the gospel. I believe you died for sinners. And I'm a sinner. Right now, I repent and I turn to you and I put my faith in you. I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Right now, I am a believer. I am a follower of Jesus. I am a child of God, a part of the family of God. Can we rejoice with those who have prayed this prayer? Stand with me and let's sing.
Thank you for joining us today. If you've enjoyed listening, be sure to hit the subscribe button and rate and review the podcast. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.